Hell no. Hell no. Hell no. You want The Rock to be your tag team partner? You want the People's Champion to team up with you? You, the same one who's been knocking on The Rock's door for years, and you were shocked when The Rock opened it and came back. You see, John, in order for you and The Rock to be a tag team, this is the way tag teams work. You stick your hand out, and The Rock will slap the skin on your hand. Well, no, I don't want to do that. Why would I want to slap the skin on your hand? No, The Rock will just as soon just slap the lips right off your face, punk.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
It's Monday evening, SRL, on a Monday night, on a very special night because it is October 31st and it is Halloween. My name is Corey Callahan. I'm sitting next to James McDonald.
Happy Halloween out there.
James, how are you doing tonight?
Not too bad, buddy. How was your Halloween?
Pretty uneventful.
Yeah, what did you dress up as?
I didn't dress up. I never dress up.
Yeah.
What did you dress up as?
I dressed up as an unknown radio personality.
That works. I was expecting more trick-or-treaters to the house.
Yeah, it wasn't a very big turnout.
No.
Seems like it's getting smaller and smaller every year.
I think throughout the entire episode of Monday Night Raw, we probably had about, I don't know, what, 10 knocks on the door?
If that.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal this year.
I think it has a lot to do with parents trying to watch what their kids eat nowadays, because the whole obesity thing is becoming quite an epidemic, right?
But we live in such a low-income neighborhood, I didn't think that would matter. I didn't think parents cared about their kids' hygiene.
Do we really want to say that on the air?
Yeah. Smack Talk Studios is not located in the heart of the rich people district, if you will. What's your favorite part about Halloween, by the way?
Favorite part about Halloween? I'd have to say it'd be the fireworks and the firecrackers.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
You're going to go blow some Roman candles off after the show, aren't you?
I've got a pack that I've got waiting for me downstairs.
Are you going to let me shoot one off? Or?
I'll shoot a couple at you.
Well, you've already wanted to shoot one at my dog, which you stated earlier, so.
Well, yeah, but you told me I'd be kicked off the show if that happened, so I reconsidered.
I'm not the boss. This is an equal partnership. Of course, we got to go with the Michael Jackson Thriller on Halloween. The cliche song
you
use.
To.
What else would you use?
Monster Bash?
I guess so. Well, it was. Of course, Monday Night Raw did fall on Halloween this year, and coming this Monday night from Atlanta, Georgia, in the Phillips Arena.
That's right.
And without getting into detail, James, how are you feeling after this one's over?
Pretty much the same way I felt going in.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't really think things progressed much after watching this Raw.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the greatest Raw, but it wasn't the absolute train wreck that I kind of thought it was going to be going into it.
Mm-hmm.
It being, of course, the what I'm referring to being the Muppet Invasion.
Yeah. We'll get into that.
Just off the top, what did you think of the whole Muppet thing?
I liked it. I thought it was very well done. I think that when you incorporate puppets on a wrestling show, you're admitting to the world that wrestling has its moments where it is not as real as...
Where it doesn't take itself as seriously.
Yeah. And that's, you know that heading in.
Yeah.
But they are promoting a movie, as we found out tonight, and I thought the way they did it was pretty decent, and we'll get into it as we go.
No, honestly, I liked the incorporation of the Muppets. Mm-hmm. I like that they weren't involved in matches except for the whole Beaker thing. But I mean, they weren't making stipulations and they weren't making matches. I mean, they were almost as side dressing, almost kind of, you know, instead of being the main focus of the show, which I thought was smart.
I thought they were very funny, actually.
They were. They had some very good comedic moments.
So, as I said earlier, the Monday Night Raw tonight is coming from Atlanta, Georgia, the Phillips Arena. Let's start this thing off. We're starting Monday Night Raw off with a video package.
Right away to
The Rock.
Yep.
We are getting The Rock's response to John Cena inviting him to be his tag team partner at Survivor Series. Now, in this video package, now let me just state, James, that he's not live in the arena, obviously. This is up on the Titantron. It looks like he's in California or Miami or wherever he is. There's palm trees.
Somewhere where there's palm trees and ferns, which are quite prominent behind him.
And the wind's blowing. It's like looking like he's on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, in this promo video, or it's not even a promo video, but in this video message from The Rock, He says a few things, and in that he says, you know, John Cena, you represent an era and a generation. I represent an era and a generation. Now, you want us to be a tag team together at Survivor Series. His response?
Well, you heard it off the top of the show, folks.
Hell no.
And you know what? At this point, I was actually kind of excited. I thought, oh, man, I'm actually a little bit shocked. I'm a little bit surprised.
I was like, oh, that was not what I was expecting. No kidding. And I was super pumped that he said that.
Yeah, and that lasted all about how many seconds?
Well, he follows that up before he says that. He follows this up with, you want Team Bring It to team up with the Fruit Loop Troop?
I like that, the Fruit Loop Troop.
And of course, he says hell no again. But then he changes his mind.
Just like right on the spot, yeah. Like on a snap of a spin of a dime.
He tells the world that he's not teaming up with John Cena, and then he switches gears, and he says he will team up with John Cena, and here's the reason we both hate The Miz and R-Truth.
Which struck me as kind of odd, because what kind of involvement does The Rock have with The Miz and R-Truth?
I have no idea, maybe.
None. He's gotten minimal involvement with The Miz. I mean, that goes all the way back to last year's WrestleMania. He's got no reason to hate R-Truth.
Mm-hmm. And then he follows that up with, it's what the people want, and they want to see R-Truth and Miz get their asses kicked. Really?
And at that point, I'm going, that's not what I want, but okay, continue.
So he says, John Cena, you got your wish. And The Rock says that there's also one more reason why he's agreeing to team up with John Cena at Survivor Series. And that's because he wants John Cena to be 1 foot away while he does what he does best, and that is lay boots to asses all damn day and all damn night.
He wants John Cena to be a witness.
And then he finishes the whole video message up with one final line, and that is, and I have a very good feeling, this is the entire slogan to Survivor
this
Series.
This is the tagline for sure.
The Rock, John Cena, never before, never again.
You know, I just felt that this whole promo was not The Rock's best work. I felt like it was something that he rushed together, probably while he was on the way to going and doing something else. He's got this ugly-looking goatee with gray, with gray all spotted through
it. He needs to shave that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
He looks jacked. I'll give him that. He's looking jacked.
He's almost purposely keeping the goatee so he can connect with the older generation, because that is obviously what they're... what he's representing, right? He's representing the generation that watched before John Cena.
The Attitude Era, guy like when we were young.
So I wonder if he is keeping that goatee for that reason, to try and look a little older. You think that's...
No, I think it's probably for a role that he's doing.
You think so?
I think he's probably filming something right now.
I don't know where his movie status is at, unfortunately.
I don't either, but I'm just postulating that it's maybe for something that he's filming. And
I would have loved to have seen if... I would have loved to seen The Rock turn John Cena down. I was legitimately surprised
that
when he originally
cool.
said
no. I thought,
no.
Oh, geez, maybe they could have. That'd be an interesting way to throw
for
the
once,
angle forward.
For once, we could have been all thrown off. Because, last Monday on Raw, they were promoting Cena and The Rock at Survivor Series with those commercials in between Raw. And, it was like the match was already made.
Yeah.
But it would have been gold if The Rock came on Monday night this week and had said no. That's not happening. It's nice that the WWE assumes that I am going to team up with Cena, and you guys have been advertising it, but guess what? It takes two to be a tag team, and I'm not doing that
exactly.
Match.
And then they could have eventually been forced to work together.
Yeah.
And that would have been way better and way more logical.
Like, why even tease the audience by saying no and then saying yes?
It still does not make sense to me.
Oh, God. Yeah. Come on. We already know The Rock's going to be at Survivor Series. Yeah. We don't need to see him in the ring.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm totally against the whole thing that WWE's done with promoting Rock and Cena being together, I mean, for weeks in advance like they've done. I'm totally not liking that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, we follow up this video message from The Rock with a graphic announcing that it's going to be a WrestleMania rematch tonight.
That's right.
It is going to be John Cena versus The Miz.
Which was the main event, if you remember, from WrestleMania 27 back in April.
Which is, of course, was held...
At the Georgia Dome.
In Atlanta.
Yeah, at the Georgia Dome, right?
Yes. That's so right. The same city, they get the same match less than a year later.
Exact same main event, even.
Ugh. God, this booking
aren't you glad that you bought a ticket?
This booking tonight is just something else. And it gets even better because we get to our first match of the evening. And to start that off, CM Punk's music hits. He walks out. And then Mark Henry walks out. And Lawler says that John Laurinaitis says that all CM Punk has to do tonight is beat Mark Henry, and he will get his title shot against Alberto Del Rio at Survivor Series.
I don't know. What did you think of this?
Well, this is something that they had announced on WWE.com earlier this week, or I should say late last week. And I think that's absolutely ridiculous that you have to beat one champion to get to the other champion.
It is. It's totally backwards booking in my opinion.
And nothing good can come out of pitting one of your top faces against the biggest heel in the company.
You're going to make your monster heel look bad, or you're going to make one of your top baby faces look bad. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
And we'll find out here what they did.
Well, before we get to the match, they actually finally show the exclusive footage of Mark Henry versus the Big Show at Vengeance. This was the ring collapsing. And one very hysterical moment during this little recap of what happened at Vengeance was Jerry Lawler saying, "I've never seen that before in my life."
Oh, my God. We both started laughing when we heard that.
Oh, my God.
Did you not forget Brock Lesnar and Big Show back in 03?
So it's safe to assume that they are never going to show that footage ever again of Lesnar and Big Show.
Probably not, no.
It's done. It's never going to be shown again.
Now it's on to Mark Henry and Big Show.
That's right. And, of course, John Laurinaitis comes out at this point, and he does recap what he did say late last week. I gotta get that right.
He basically plugged the website and then restated the stipulation for the match.
So if CM Punk beats Mark Henry tonight, he gets a shot at Survivor Series against Alberto Del Rio.
And at that point, Mark Henry made his way to the ring, right?
Yes. And we now have CM Punk versus Mark Henry.
Yeah, it was actually kind of a short match. It lasted maybe about 2.5 minutes. The match started out with Henry taking control, kicking CM Punk, whipping him into the corners. Punk then turned it around by leaping onto Henry, but Henry then reversed it by slamming Punk into the mat. Punk would get up then and start kicking Henry in the legs, trying to retake control. Henry would then grab Punk, kind of like throw him over the top rope, but Punk would grab onto the top rope to prevent himself from going down onto the ground. And at this point, he would then do the slingshot elbow that he likes to do in his matches.
Yeah.
He'd knock Henry down after that. After that slingshot elbow, he'd go up to the top rope and he does the Macho Man, does like the salute to Macho Man, right? Mm-hmm. Before he does the elbow drop. So he hits the elbow drop onto Henry, goes for a pin, gets a two count. Henry would then at this point kick out, the strong kick out, right? Where he pushes the guy off. Well, he does that to Punk. Punk rolls out of the ring, and it's at this point that Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez are making their way to the ring now. So Henry's kind of dazed a little bit. Punk's on the outside of the ring, but the far side near where the announce tables are. And it's at this point that Del Rio sends Ricardo Rodriguez into the ring to to flail onto Mark Henry.
Yeah, it was
weird.
Sad beatdown.
Sad punches, yeah. And anyways, he eventually ends up taking off his shoe and starts hitting Mark Henry with his shoe. And it's at this point that the referee throws the match out, disqualifying CM Punk. So CM Punk loses his match thanks to Ricardo Rodriguez.
Almost having Alberto Del Rio having Ricardo do that on purpose.
Yeah.
So he wanted CM Punk to be disqualified.
That's right.
I guess not having to face him at Survivor Series now.
Yeah, it's a basic heel tactic. So anyways, at the end of the match, Punk realizes what happens. He's up on the apron, looks over to the other side of the ring and sees Del Rio and Rodriguez there. So he then decides to run across the ring and do a suicide dive through the middle ropes onto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez. And then he picks up Rodriguez. At this point, Del Rio is scurried away. Mm-hmm. So he picks up Rodriguez, kind of looks at Mark Henry in the ring, who's now up to his feet. He takes Rodriguez, throws him into the ring to Henry. Henry picks him up, gives him a World's Strongest Slam. And that's kind of the end of that whole...
That's the end of the segment.
That's the end of the segment, yeah.
So CM Punk losing his opportunity to face Del Rio at Survivor Series.
Oh, and Cole even said Punk screwed his opportunity up tonight. Or what did he? What was
yeah,
he?
That's exa- yeah, that's exactly. Yeah,
or Punk blew. No, he said Punk blew it. Yeah. Punk blew his opportunity, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, no kidding. Now, after this match is over, here's an interesting part of the show. They announced Jim Roll. Jeez, Jim Ross and Michael Cole in the Cole Challenge later on tonight on Raw. Why that's important, we'll get to a little later. We'll get to
this, yeah.
And then they, of course, also advertise the appearance by the Muppets tonight, and that's coming up very soon. Now, we go to commercial break. We come back from commercial, and Justin Roberts is in the ring. I believe it's Justin Roberts that was announced.
It sounded like Justin Roberts, yeah.
And he was announcing, he announces the Muppets. Now, here's a funny little segment, because they show Miss Piggy and Kermit kind of up near the entrance rampway. They've got like a makeshift desk set up where the Muppets were appearing.
Right.
And so Miss Piggy and Kermit are there. They both say hi, and Miss Piggy announces that she was the original diva. No, these divas that are here today, they're not the original diva. No, like wait, Miss Piggy, Piggy is. Man. And at this point, Jack Swagger and Vicky Guerrero walk out. And they
and
both...
you just knew there was going to be something between Vicky Guerrero and Miss Piggy tonight. It was almost a given.
It was, and I was glad to see it happening. I was glad to see this. Swagger and Vicky tell Kermit and Piggy to leave. Kermit says, "We don't want any trouble, Swagger, from you or your mother." At this point, the crowd goes, "Ooh." Swagger doesn't like that. Miss Piggy and Vicky Guerrero actually get into a pushing match with each other, and they're both saying "excuse me" to each other.
Oh, I love it when they're standing nose to nose, eye to eye. That was beautiful.
It's at this point where there's Santino Morello's music hits. He walks out, and he's been informed by John Laryngitis that it's Swagger versus Santino.
I love
this
Santino,
evening.
Man.
And Santino says, or sorry, Swagger says that he will have Ziggler in his corner tonight, so he's not really worried. Santino says, "I don't think so, because Ziggler has a match of his own against Zack Ryder."
So it's a rematch from Vengeance.
I guess so. At this point, Kelly comes out of the entranceway. She gives Kermit a kiss. Piggy gets all jealous, Miss Piggy getting all jealous, and Kelly walks to the ring. That's setting us up for the Divas Battle Royal.
Now, my first thought was, what the heck is Kelly wearing? What is she supposed to be? That's supposed to be a pirate costume?
My first thought of this at this point was, this is easily going to be the best match of the night.
It's at this point I was going to the bathroom. But...
What? Divas Battle Royal on Halloween and you're going to the bathroom?
Oh, man, what a...
It better be for reasons that we can't talk about on the show.
Jeez, what a cluster F this was.
All right, so get into it. The Divas Battle Royal.
Okay, the Divas Battle Royal, where all the divas are dressed up in different kind of Halloween costumes. For example, we have the Bella Twins dressed up as Mario and Luigi. We had Alicia Fox dressed up as a sailor. We had Eve dressed up as Robin from Batman and Robin. And then we had Rosa. She was dressed up as a cave woman. Then we had Oksana looking good as Morticia Adams. Mm-hmm. And who's the one that was... There was one diva that was dressed as Dog the Bounty Hunter, and Corey and I are sitting here trying...
It was Caitlin, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, it was Caitlin.
And she was dressed as Dog the Bounty Hunter. Okay,
yeah,
she...
Yeah, it didn't look like her, though.
she had a good Dog the Bounty Hunter costume on.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, actually.
Yeah. So, anyways, this mashup of a match starts... And it starts out with Natalya eliminating Rosa, who's dressed up as the cave woman, like I mentioned. And then Oksana got eliminated after she was thrown over the top rope and then drop-kicked into the back. And then Caitlyn gets eliminated. There's a point in the match where Eve did this kind of crotch grind, and then she did the standing backflip onto the Bella Twins, who were dressed up as Mario and Luigi. And then the Bellas were eliminated by a devil clothesline by Kelly and Eve. Like I said, this was a mashup, so I had a hard time writing notes for this one. But ended up the last four people in the ring were Alicia Fox, Kelly, Natalya, and Eve. And Alicia ended up getting eliminated first after a back body drop by Natalya. And then Kelly got thrown over the top rope, but she hung on to the top, and Natalya eventually eliminated her by kind of giving her a shoulder block to the gut, and she fell to the ground. And then... running up behind her was Eve, and Eve kind of just tossed her through the second rope, and she was eliminated. I thought you kind of had to go over the top rope, but I guess not in the women's battle royals.
They make the rules up as they go now.
Jeez. So anyways, yeah, she was tossed through the middle rope and eliminated. So Eve is your winner and new number one contender for the WWE Divas Championship at Survivor Series.
What I thought was interesting here was Beth Phoenix was actually in the commentary table, and she was talking to Cole and Lawler. Now, after Natalya got eliminated and Eve won the Battle Royal, Beth Phoenix got all mad, like she was all, you know, she was all ticked off that Natalya got eliminated. Why are you getting mad that Natalya got eliminated? Why don't you, do you want Natalya, who's supposed to be your, you know,
well,
your,
no, maybe
your partner
maybe.
In crime, is, do you want her to be the number one contender to your title?
No, maybe she wants Natalya to win so they could do like a co-Divas champion thing like Laycool.
Oh, yes, that would be a good combination.
Yes, let's do that.
With Natalya and Phoenix. Oh, God.
I don't know where they're going with that. No, who knows where they're going with the Divas?
They're not going anywhere.
That's the whole problem, or is it?
We then go backstage with a couple of the Muppets, Beaker and Dr. Bunsen. Remember them, James?
Yes, I do.
They were excellent. Now, before this segment even started, as soon as I saw Beaker, I thought to myself, are we going to see Sheamus tonight with Beaker? Because the resemblance between those two is like nothing else.
Uncanny, it is. To say the least.
So Beaker and Dr. Bunsen are messing around in the lab, and it's actually Dr. Bunsen that gives a bottle or a vial of it's a drink of some kind, but it's like a scientific type drink, and he gives that to Beaker, and he says, you must get this to Santino right away.
Yeah, it's supposed to give him like strength and agility. Or...
Mm-hmm. Beaker starts walking through the backstage area, runs into Christian, and Christian takes that concoction and he just basically pours it out.
What a jerky.
Right in front of Beaker. Beaker didn't like that. And neither did this person, because finally, Sheamus walked into the scene and he goes right up to Christian and asks, is there a problem? Christian says no, walks away. Sheamus is there standing there with Beaker, and of course everyone is loving this. The fans are loving this. Everyone's having a good laugh at the resemblance between the two. And Sheamus just all of a sudden comes to life and he says, yeah, sorry, I can't make the family reunion. And
tell Aunt so and so I can't make the reunion.
And he ends up fixing Beaker's hair.
And then fixes his own.
So basically insinuating that they are related and they're actually part of the same family. I think that's great.
I got a good laugh out of that one.
That is a good one.
And you know what? This is the proper way that you should be using the Muppets, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's comedic no matter how you look at it.
I mean, you don't have them in there affecting storylines or influencing matches or anything. Just, yeah, have them be like, you know, window dressing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And just kind of add to segments. That's what I think
you should do. They did a very good job tonight with the Muppets.
Absolutely.
It could have been worse, but they kept it sparse, but... They were there when they needed to be. I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah.
At this point in the show, we then have Air Boom, the tag team champions, walk out, and we're heading to a commercial break. But one thing I laughed at was there was a Snickers ad just before we went to commercial break. It makes me laugh that it's such target marketing to their their demographic, eh? Like I'm thinking to myself,
why is this? Explain this, Corey.
You're promoting Snickers on a Monday Night Raw, basically admitting to the world that only stoners who crave chocolate bars are going to watch Raw.
You heard it on SRL first, folks.
Oh, come on. That's so obvious what they're doing. Who, like, isn't it? No? Is it just me? It must be just me.
Corey, do you want a Snickers?
We come back to Cody Rhodes and Wade Barrett in the ring. After our commercial break.
Yeah, no entrance
music. No entrance music for them. And then this brings us to, of course, Cody Rhodes and Wade Barrett versus Air Boom.
And the match starts off with Cody Rhodes taking on Evan Bourne inside the ring. Cody kind of takes advantage early with some punches and kicks until Kofi Kingston's eventually tagged in. Kingston then has the advantage for a little bit. He ends up kicking both men actually to the ground. But eventually Rhodes makes it back in and gets control again with a side Russian leg sweep into a two count onto Kofi Kingston. And it's at this point that he tags in Wade Barrett. Barrett then enters the match against Kingston, delivers a devastating looking side slam for another two count, and then puts him into a kind of a rest spot with a modified abdominal stretch. And it's at this point Kofi kind of fights up out of the abdominal stretch, and Barrett starts using some of the southpaw punches because they're really trying to push him as the old bare knuckle champion type thing,
yeah,
right?
So
he give him a couple of two lefts and a big right hook and kind of knock Kingston down, and then he goes back and he tags Rhodes in, so they're kind of, you know, keeping Kingston out of, out of his corner, and they're doing the quick tags kind of like they do in a tag match, right? And it's at this point that Cody Rhodes continues taking control with kicks and punches, and he's getting a Cody sucks chant from the crowd, which I thought was kind of interesting.
It's always good when your Intercontinental Champion's getting a Cody sucks.
Cody
chance.
Sucks chance. But hey, you know what? That's the kind of
that is.
That's the reaction that he wants.
Yeah.
But anyways, in the match, Kingston ends up fighting back with a big monkey flip onto Cody Rhodes, and that's kind of when the hot tag happened. Rhodes goes over and tags Barrett, and Kingston goes over and does the hot tag on Evan Bourne. Evan Bourne comes in, all energy, lays the feet to Barrett, kicks him a couple times in the side. Barrett then grabs Evan Bourne, tries to give him a wasteland, but Evan Bourne turns it around into a sick-looking DDT for a two count. But the finish comes when Evan Bourne goes up to the top to try to do his airborne shooting star press
yeah.
onto Cody Rhodes, but Barrett runs over, grabs him off the top rope, and gives him a sick-looking wasteland and pins him for the three. So the match went about 10 minutes long, and your winners are Wade Barrett and Cody Rhodes.
It's at this point that Christian runs out and just begins an immediate beatdown on Air Boom, and Barrett and Rhodes join in, of course. And then the man who saves the day, Sheamus, runs out, and he clears the ring, ends up giving a brogue kick to Cody Rhodes, and he's left lying in the ring while the other men had escaped, or they were...
He eventually ends up rolling out of the ring, and it's basically yeah. it ends up with Sheamus and Airborne holding hands high
yeah.
in the ring, and I think they cut to a commercial at that point.
No, it was actually quite interesting what happens at this point, because the camera begins to pull out, almost like a wide shot of the arena,
right?
But it keeps pulling out, and it's where we're introduced to the two old men that were the Muppets. I don't know if you remember them, James, but they are called Statler and Waldorf.
I remember Statler and Waldorf.
I know, of course you did. I knew that. They are very funny. And oh. I'm so glad they used them on the
no
show tonight.
No kidding. Kind of a waste of a suite, but you know what? Heck.
Yeah.
You don't have the Muppets on the show every day, do you?
So they're sitting in a suite way up high in the arena, and Statler starts talking, and every time Statler's talking, Waldorf keeps interrupting him, saying, "What? What? What?" And it's Statler who basically accuses Waldorf. Well, he doesn't accuse him of anything. He actually ends up saying, "We've gone from Stone Cold to the Stone Age," referencing Waldorf's age, of course. I thought that was very well done.
I love the Muppets. They're great.
I can't tell jokes as good as they can, obviously. We then go backstage where John Laurinaitis is doing what else? Texting on his cell phone. And CM Punk walks into the frame and he says, "So what are you going to make me do now, John?" Now that he's referring to his loss, you know, his loss earlier in the evening. He's lost his title shot to Alberto Del Rio.
Didn't you see that? Was that fair? Was that impartial?
Mm-hmm. Basically, he is accusing John Laurinaitis of making him do things to try and get this title match.
Right.
When basically CM Punk says, "I deserve it anyways." He says, "What are you going to make me do now, John? Are you going to make me skateboard through hoops? Are you going to make you..." This is funny. "Make me hand you chapstick while you go into a board of directors meeting? Or are you going to make me frost the tips of my hair..."
Like the late 90s?
Yeah, like in 1999, and wear a cheap suit and completely sell out. I don't know what that means.
He was making reference to somebody. I don't know who, but if you guys out there know who it is, send us an email onair@smacktalkradiolive.com.
I'm sure a little bit of research, we can figure that out, but in this time, I cannot think of who he's referring to in that situation. He's talking about frosted hair tips, a 1999 cheap suit, and someone who completely sold out. I can't think of who that might be off the top of my head.
Not off the top of my head, no.
John Laurinaitis then kind of cuts him off there, and he says, "Don't worry, Punk. You have your match with Alberto Del Rio as long as he agrees to give it to you." Punk says, "Seems fair enough." We also then see at this point a Alberto Del Rio versus Big Show graphic, which is coming up later tonight. We head to commercial.
You know what? I'm just going to stop you right there for a second. It's at this point, actually, that we don't see John Laurinaitis at all for the rest of the show.
Yeah, he's done. This is it for the evening.
Which is a good thing.
A bit of a minor or backseat role on tonight's Raw.
That's right.
I mean, he did have a heavy presence in the beginning of the show, but not...
Do you think they're kind of trying to make him more of a babyface general manager now?
I think they're making him a tweener, really, is where they're at. They're not letting you decide whether he is a bad guy or a good guy. They want to keep that mystery going.
Because there's kind of hints of both now.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. I think regardless of how you look at it, he's a heel. Look what he did for the first 2 weeks as interim general manager. He fired Jim Ross. He brought back R-Truth and Miz. They built him up as a heel. And then they're going to make you second guess yourself. Right? That's what they're doing
here. Pretty
much, yeah. I think this is an example of them not knowing. This isn't anything that's being done on purpose. This is an example of them not knowing where they're at in terms of storylines and what John Laurinaitis is and who he stands for. And
I think maybe they're just trying to kind of leave the door open for either possibility, maybe.
I think so at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's bad. I don't think you should build him up as a heel for his first 2 weeks and then start making people second guess. But
this is WWE, and look what they've been doing lately. So
now when we come back from commercial, we get another Brodus Clay montage and a little something new on his montage. They actually announced at the end of it that he will be making his return to Raw next week. So we are going to see Brodus Clay next week on Monday Night Raw.
Are you not feeling Brodus Clay, Corey?
No, I'm not feeling Brodus Clay.
Why not?
I just don't see him being a... first of all, I never see him being in the title picture. I don't take him as a champion. I don't think the fans will ever get behind someone who is not that good looking. He's not that good looking.
I think he could be somebody good for maybe putting other guys over.
That's exactly what he'll be. You know what he'll be like? This is a little bit extreme, but he'll kind of be like the Great Khali.
Or maybe even like Kane?
No, the Great Khali when he first started. Remember when the Great Khali first started? He was this massive powerhouse. And he had that, you know, he had that Punjabi prison match with The Undertaker.
Yeah, back
and
he was taken as a
real threat. Remember, he was a real threat.
Yeah.
Well, that's what will happen with Brodus Clay. He'll come in as a real threat. And he will, you know, he will dominate for, you know, a month or two. But then he'll drop down to the mid card and eventually end up on Superstars.
You don't think that they'll eventually down the road put a strap on him for a short while just to give him a little bit of credibility?
No, I don't.
They did that with Khali.
I know, but I don't think they'll... If they do that with him, it'll be brief, and I think they will realize that he probably doesn't... He won't stay there long. I don't... This is my opinion. I've seen nothing to make me really believe that this guy is going to be a powerhouse in the WWE.
Yeah, it's all... it's all to be seen, I guess.
It also comes down to the booking and how they do it, so...
Booking is a big thing, yes.
So it's too early to really tell how he is going to do, but from what I... If you want my guess at this point, I'm saying he will be an initial boost to the roster, but eventually he will drop down to mid-card status.
Well, the videos look good.
Yeah, they do. Alberto Del Rio then drives out, and he, of course, arrives in his 2004 Porsche Carrera 3, which is worth $100,000, according to Michael Cole. One interesting note here, we get a little promo advertisement for WWE 12, the video game, and they show The Rock, and then they show John Cena, mm-hmm. and then they show the quote, "the most charismatic tag team of all time." Just for a brief second, they show that, and then they cut off to something else. Really? We're already calling them the most charismatic tag team of all time? This is their video game advertisement, but that's what we're referring to them as less than an hour after The Rock has accepted the challenge.
I can't even think of how to break this one down.
All right. Big Show walking out at this point, and that will bring us to the Big Show versus Alberto Del Rio.
Didn't Alberto Del Rio come out in his Porsche first?
Yeah, I already announced that.
Oh, that's right, you did. My bad.
James is tired tonight.
My bad. Yep, so this will bring us to the fourth match of the evening. It's Del Rio taking on the Big Show. Again, non-title match. So the Big Show starts out taking control early with some punches. Gets Del Rio into the corner. Del Rio kind of tries to counter with a headbutt on Big Show, but Big Show gets him back into the corner, does the big hand slap onto him. Chokes it, then he kind of throws Del Rio down onto the rope and kind of chokes him with his leg on him, does like the knee on his head type choke thing. Del Rio fights back onto Big Show with yet another headbutt. Big Show then does a suplex onto Del Rio for a two count. It's at this point Big Show's got control again. He's basically clotheslining him and kneeing him. This match actually went on for an inordinately long amount of time.
You were commenting at how long this match
went over. 20 minutes this match, But anyways, Big Show at this point then whips Del Rio into the corner. Del Rio reverses it with the feet up. Del Rio then jumps onto the back of the Big Show, puts him into a sleeper hold. And this was kind of a long rest spot. But Big Show then started to fade, went down to a knee. Big Show eventually then gets up, flips over Del Rio, getting out of the sleeper hold. Big Show is then shown coughing and sputtering on the resting onto the top rope. And I don't know, Corey, he looked kind of out of shape to me. What about you?
Yeah, Big Show looked very gassed in this
match.
He
looked very gassed, yeah. Very out of shape. And
yeah, he seemed very out of breath. I something wasn't right with Big Show tonight, I don't think.
Yeah. So anyways, then Big Show has Del Rio on the outside. He then kicks Del Rio into the barricade with his foot. He then knees Del Rio in the face. Slaps Del Rio on the barricade, does the hand slap thing again. It's at this point that Big Show then backs up, tries to run into Del Rio. Del Rio gets out of the way. Big Show runs into the barricade. Del Rio follows that up with that running enziguri onto Big Show that I like so much. Del Rio then gets Big Show back into the ring. Del Rio then gets back into the ring, starts kicking Big Show in the head multiple times, gets him down for a two count. Del Rio then at this point puts Big Show into a front face lock, and then he turns it into a side headlock, and Big Show at this point reverses it into a backdrop. The ref then starts counting both men. Del Rio gets up at six. Both men start exchanging slaps. Del Rio drop kicks the Big Show for another two count. Puts the Big Show into a front face lock again. Big Show then throws him off, like basically just picks him up from the front, throws him off, and then he kind of runs over and clotheslines Del Rio over the top rope. We then go to a commercial. When we come back from commercial, it's Del Rio with a leg lock on the Big Show. Big Show then counters this with a leg smash onto Del Rio's head. Del Rio then gets up, starts kicking Big Show some more. Big Show then goes for the choke slam, kind of teases the choke slam, but then Del Rio counters into a two count. And then the finish kind of happened really just quick and out of the blue. Had Big Show into the corner. Del Rio's running into the corner to try to kind of, I think he was going to do another kind of enziguri thing. Mm-hmm. And Big Show just kind of out of nowhere gives him the knockout punch and then pins him for the three count. And that's the end of the match.
So Alberto Del Rio loses cleanly to the Big Show tonight.
Unbelievable.
To a knockout punch.
This is your champion, people. Ugh. This is your WWE champion.
What's the point of this?
You got me, because I thought maybe they would have, maybe this would kind of continue the feud between Big Show and Mark Henry. I thought maybe we'd see Mark Henry get involved here, but nothing.
Yeah.
No Mark Henry.
I can't figure out why you want to have the Big Show go over your WWE champion cleanly. I don't get that.
And you know what? I thought for sure this was going to progress the Show Henry feud along a little bit more, because even at the beginning of the match, they showed again the superplex from Vengeance with the ring breaking.
Well, I mean, maybe this is their way of saying the Big Show is a threat to be, you know, considered. Like, we all should be taking the Big Show seriously because he just pinned the champion.
I don't know.
Does this mean that the Big Show is going to get a title shot against Alberto Del Rio? Because technically that should happen.
I totally agree with you, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I think they're going to bury this match like it never even happened.
The whole point, you know what, Corey? The whole point of this match was for what happened at the end of the match with CM Punk coming out. You kind of want to go over that quickly?
Yeah, well, at this point, after the match is over, which you and I are both shaking our heads going, what the heck just happened? CM Punk walks out. He kind of is walking down the ramp. Big Show meets him halfway. They take a look at each other. Punk enters the ring, or actually before he enters the ring, he does grab a microphone and a bottle of water, and he sits down next to Alberto Del Rio. He tries to wake Del Rio up. He ends up pouring water on it all over him, and he asks if Del Rio can hear him. Punk says he wants to make sure that he can hear what he's about to say, and he says, I'm going to ask you a question, Alberto. And you're going to say yes, because I'm going to put you in the Anaconda vice and make you say yes. And he puts the move on Alberto Del Rio, and he basically forces him to say yes to a match at Survivor Series. Punk tries to talk on the microphone at this point. The mic doesn't work. CM Punk kind of says, are you kidding me? Like, he can't believe that the mic's not working.
I think it was a genuine screw up.
It was. This wasn't part of the show. The microphone did cut out, probably due to the water.
But hey, kudos to CM Punk for rolling with it.
And you know what? This is, to me, this was a perfect opportunity or a perfect example of spontaneity where I was like, oh, is that real? Isn't that real? Like, what's going on here? Like, I actually enjoyed that the mic didn't work out.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was part of the whole thing.
And
but
Punk
no,
covered
it
well.
Just, it was just a screw up.
Yeah. And he tries.
And sorry, I was just going to go back. I'm going to say, there's your reason why our WWE champion lost cleanly. Just so CM Punk could come in, put him in the Anaconda Vice, and set up their match for Survivor Series, which is stupid.
That is.
Is that the best way you could do it, honestly?
No. I know. God.
You're gonna make your champion job cleanly?
Yeah.
Just to set up a match for a pay-per-view?
Yeah.
it doesn't make any sense to me, man.
I know. And then, of course, Punk reminds the audience with the microphone that now works. He says, in case you didn't hear, he did say yes. So there you have it. CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio at Survivor Series.
Now, one thing I'd like to point out at this point, I'm thinking that this match went on far too long. I think it went on. I think this match kind of screwed up their timing for the rest of the show, and we'll kind of get into this later.
It had to have.
But I mean, this match was like, geez, it was almost 25 minutes long, this match.
I think it threw the timing off for the whole show. And that matters, because as we get later into the show, they had to start dropping things.
Yep.
And this whole match to me is a mind boggler. It's going to take me a day or so to process why they would even go in this direction.
And the whole finish to this big show, Del Rio match, just seemed like it came out of the blue. Like it was like, okay, the ref was telling them, okay, boys, wrap it up, do something now, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, clean it up, let's go.
Yeah.
Because it felt like the match was just going on way too long, which is kind of odd to me.
Yeah.
That's something you don't see very often with the WWE. Usually the guys in WWE, they're very time conscious of their performances.
And if they are going to give them that much time in a match, it's usually one, they're trying to make it the match of the night or possibly the match of the year candidate. Yeah. And number two, it's not usually some stupid finish to it. It's you know, it's a match worth watching.
Yeah.
And that wasn't what this was tonight.
I don't know. I personally think there was something up with the big show.
Yeah. There had to be.
He did not look good. He looked really bad in
he
that
did.
Shape.
He
and
did.
Gassed. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one to see what happens.
Well,
with
we'll see how this goes.
We then head backstage with two more of the Muppets, Gonzo and Fozzie. Fozzie was one of my favorites
Fozzie
growing
the
up.
Bear. Waka, waka, waka.
And Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero walk up. And they end up stretching Gonzo's arms up over his head. They basically tie his arms around his head.
Now, why would they do that to poor Gonzo?
Well, they were basically sending the message that they want Fozzie and Gonzo to spread the message to the locker room that if there's anyone who's thinking of getting involved in their match, the same thing will happen to them.
Plus Gonzo said that he could be WWE champion. How hard could it be?
Yes, he did say that.
that's what I was trying to get at. That part made me laugh. I could be WWE champion. I just got to put my mind to it. How hard could it be?
Well, it's true.
Well, hell, if Del Rio can do it, I can do it.
It's true. We then come back from commercials to a Muppets movie trailer. And I thought it was interesting. Not everyone knows this, James, but the Muppets are actually now owned by Disney. Disney bought
Muppets. Yeah, you know what? I did not know that until tonight.
Yeah, I knew that a while back, but yeah, I thought that's a big acquisition for Disney.
Because that is big. They used to always be owned by Jim Henson Productions,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that's right. So yeah, it's a big acquisition for Disney. I'm just wondering how long it'll be before we actually see their involvement with Disneyland and Disney World. They may already be there. I just don't know about it.
Probably they're already there.
Yeah. That's good. It's a good family to be a part of.
Yeah.
So we then introduce our special timekeeper at this point of the evening. And the special timekeeper of the evening is the Animal.
None other than Animal, that's right.
From the Muppets, of course.
And he's ringing the bell like a madman.
Well, he's a drummer. He knows what he's doing. And out walks Jack Swagger with Vicky Guerrero. Out walks Santino Marella. This, of course, starts their match. Jack Swagger versus Santino Marella.
That's right. Santino comes out. He's got the green cobra sock on his arm. So we start out the match, and it's Swagger taking control early with a big clothesline onto Santino. Let's see, then Swagger. At this point, then Swagger starts doing push-ups off of Santino Marella. That was kind of funny. Got an interesting reaction from the crowd. Then Swagger then whips Santino into the corner. Santino reverses it by putting his boots up. And it's at this point that Marella starts fighting back. Swagger then cuts him off with a big punch. And it's at this point that Swagger then goes to whip Santino. Santino reverses the whip, turns it into a big hip toss after ducking the clothesline from Swagger. Swagger then, at this point, gets an ankle lock onto Santino, but Santino turns it around, kicks Swagger in the face, and crawls over to the ropes. It's at this point that we see the first Muppet involvement in an actual match tonight.
That's got to be history, James.
It's got to be history. It's Beaker, and he's got the special energy drink from Dr. Bunsen from earlier, and he ends up giving it to Santino Marella. Santino takes one look at it, takes a big swig, gets up, and it's at this point he spits it into the face of Jack Swagger, then rolls Swagger up with a schoolboy, and that's your winner. Santino Marella beating Jack Swagger with a schoolboy at about 6 minutes. 6 minutes the match went.
With the involvement from a Muppet.
Thanks to the assist from Beaker.
I thought it was pretty cool to have a Muppet at ringside, you know, basically near the ring apron, handing the drink over to a wrestler.
That was kind of cool.
You know, basically interfering in a match.
Wasn't it you that was saying you'd like to see a YouTube video of the puppeteer on the other side?
I'd like to see someone in the arena who shot a video of what this all looked like, you know, outside what we see on
outside
TV.
Outside the frame that we see on
TV. I'd like to see what that looks like. But yeah, that must have been very interesting. This match was over, really nothing special.
It's at this point that I've started to notice that they're really rushing things along. So yes, it's their time is definitely skewed, I think, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Now we come back from commercial break to a Triple H versus Kevin Nash promo video, or a montage, you might want to call it. And one thing I noticed in this little video that they aired, James, was that they re-aired the clip of Triple H saying that he is still the COO.
Yeah, I think that's the angle that they're going to go with now, where he's not in control of Raw, but he's still the COO. So
yeah, that's interesting. I thought that might have been a mistake last Monday. He shouldn't have said that, and then they would have just buried that footage and you'd never see it again. But they are re-airing it, and
it looks like that's what they're going to go with. Yeah. So do you think that's maybe Hunter pulling rank, maybe?
Come on. You get relieved of your duties as COO. That's exactly how they worded it, was it not?
That's what it sounded like to me.
And they also said, you're not running Monday Night Raw, and you know John Laurinaitis is now the man in charge, but 3 weeks later, it's not John Laurinaitis in charge. It was Triple H, because he's still the COO. I don't get it now.
You're answering to me again.
Yeah, so I don't get that. And no, they made reference to it again tonight, so it means that it's sticking, and that's what they're going with.
More storyline illogicalities, but...
Yeah, and another mention in this little segment of the show, they also did mention that Triple H will be out injured for at least another 5 weeks, you know, referencing the sledgehammer shots that he took last Monday on Raw.
5 weeks? I wonder if he got... I wonder if we're going to see him back before 5 weeks.
Oh, of course we are.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the shot of Triple H walking down the ramp with his arm in a sling or his abs bandaged up or, you know, or he's limping to the ring. And
you know he's going to have a match with Nash at Survivor Series. Like, come on.
I'm just waiting for this shot of Super Triple H to come back early and, you know, get his vengeance on or his revenge on Kevin Nash.
See, if they were smart, they would hold off on this match till like Royal Rumble, I think. Build it up a little bit, but does WWE ever do build-ups?
And what would be the advantage to that?
It'd just be a little bit more interesting. There'd be a little bit more heat other than just, I want to get back at you because you hit me with a sledgehammer or you tried to break my neck. I don't know. Just like I said, I'm a fan of the old school booking. I'd like to see it, you know, be drawn out a little bit more before they touch each other. But
well, I love how they say that Triple H is going to be out of action for 5 weeks, basically insinuating that this storyline is going to be put on hold for 5 weeks. And you would think, because that's what they just said, but then they follow this up with a graphic of the WWE.com website, which shows the words, John Laurinaitis has re-signed Kevin Nash. Now, and they said that he's going to be on Raw next week.
Oh, okay. So that was going to be my next question. Do you think there's... You think it's because of commitments that Kevin Nash has that they're holding off on this for 5 weeks? Or
no, I think that this is something they're saying this to build up the, you know, the severity of what happened last week on Raw. Okay. They say 5 weeks, but I almost am willing to bet you will see Triple H in the arena next week on Monday Night Raw.
Okay, we'll have to see. You're going to look like a genius if he does.
Oh, come on. 5 weeks? They don't put a storyline on hold for 5 weeks. They have a storyline started and sewn up.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if they put that CM Punk storyline on hold for 5 weeks?
Yeah, that would have been gold. That's an instance where you do that, but you don't do that in this instance. Michael Cole, at this point of the show, then stands up on the announce table, grabs a microphone, and he starts talking to the crowd, and he says that Jim Ross isn't here tonight. He says Jim Ross has symptoms such as inflammatory bowel disease. He has ulcers. He has a mega toxic colon.
That's where I laughed my. Oh,
man. And he has gastrointestinal hemorrhaging.
A mega toxic colon. Is that an actual medical term?
I don't know.
Can any of you out there tell us if this is an actual medical term? Mega toxic colon.
And then he says that Jim Ross will be coming to the challenge next week on Raw, and that when he does come, he should wear these to the challenge, and he holds up a pair of Depends diapers. But here's the thing. Earlier in the night, they said it would be Jim Ross and Michael Cole taking part in this challenge. They showed a graphic of Jim Ross. They showed a graphic of Michael Cole. And they said this was going to happen later on Raw.
And it's at this point that we were guaranteed that they're skewered for time.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's that Big Show Del Rio match.
Well, it had to be. But why would you advertise it? And then you get to that part of the show and Michael Cole says, oh, Jim Ross isn't even in the building. Here's the other thing to note. Jim Ross put on his Twitter account that he would be at Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was all supposed to go down, but it just...
Had to be. Timing.
Time was so off. It was not even funny.
And the show suffered severely for it.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I wouldn't say it suffered, but yeah, it could have been a better show if they had everything going on time.
Mm-hmm. We then get to the two old men again. What was their names again?
Statford and Waldorf.
Yeah. And the camera pans up to them sitting in their suite, and they make the joke, the only thing worse than Michael Cole talking is nothing.
Yeah.
Classic. And Miss Piggy and John Morrison are then shown backstage. Piggy's kind of flirting with John Morrison.
She's like rubbing his abs.
Yeah, Morrison wasn't having any of it. But Hornswoggle walks in, shows Miss Piggy his Muppets tattoo, which is on his leg, and it's actually a real tattoo. It is. He does have a tattoo on his leg
of Kermit and Miss Piggy, mm-hmm. and I think Fozzie Bear, and
yeah, and that's a legit tattoo.
Yeah.
And he gives Miss Piggy a kiss on the cheek. I guess he's got a thing for her. Piggy ends up doing the classic chop. Vintage Piggy chop. Chopping Hornswoggle.
Right to the gut.
Hornswoggle kind of keels over. Kermit comes to check on Hornswoggle. It's at this point that Cody Rhodes walks in and he puts a paper bag over top of Kermit's face.
I loved that part.
That was funny.
It wasn't just any paper bag. It was an actual two-size miniature paper bag with like proper eyeholes cut out for Kermit.
Yeah, it was good.
It was quite good.
Miz then... His music hits. He walks out to the arena.
Actually, we're forgetting a whole match, my friend.
Are we? Oh.
Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler?
Oh, God. Where did I put that? Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah. After that...
how did that happen?
I actually... You know what? I think this match actually happened right after the Swagger and Santino match. Because, again, they were forced for time.
How did I skip that?
I don't know how you missed that, but I'm going to quickly go over the match. The sixth match of the night was Zack Ryder versus Dolph Ziggler with Vicky Guerrero in his corner. Again, non-title match. It's not for his U.S. title. So anyways, match starts out. Ziggler and Ryder start out with some chain. Ziggler then takes control with some kicks and punches. Ryder ends up getting a nice-looking missile dropkick off the top rope. He follows that up with a slingshot splash to the outside. At this point, we cut to commercial. When we come back from commercial, it's Ziggler that has an armbar on Zack Ryder, so they're kind of in a rest spot. It's at this point that Ryder gets up out of the armbar. Ziggler tosses him down, does the jumping elbow for a two count. Ziggler then picks up Ryder, gives him a neck breaker, and does a nip up, Corey.
Wow.
Rock style. Vicky, of course, is on the outside cheering at this point. But Zack Ryder turns it around by slingshotting Ziggler into the corner. They exchange punches, and Zack Ryder then hits a pancake onto Ziggler. Well, you know, that looked almost kind of dangerous. Looked like Ziggler's head was almost going to hit the corner turnbuckle.
Yeah.
But there was then a running elbow by Zack Ryder, followed up by a boot to the face, and that just that was a two count. Ziggler then gets up, hits a jawbreaker onto Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder at this point is in the corner, and Ziggler then tries to run into Ryder. Ryder puts his knees up, hits him in the jaw. At this point, Zack Ryder goes for the pin, and gets the three count from the ref, but ref notices that Ziggler's foot was on the bottom rope, and so he reverses his decision and just, instead of restarting the match, just decides to continue the match from where it was. At this point, then, Zack Ryder's over on the far side of the ring near the announcer's tables, and Vicky grabs his foot as he tries to get into the ring. It's at this point there that Ryder's turned around looking at Vicky. Ziggler then runs up, tries to give him a zigzag, but Ryder holds onto the top rope, and Ziggler hits the mat. It's at this point that Ryder turns around, runs at Ziggler, hits a Rough Rider on him, pins him, 1-2-3, clean victory. Your winner is Zack Ryder, and the match went about 8 minutes long.
Hmm. Real no substance in the end, though. No significance of any kind, was there?
No, not really. It was just a rematch from Vengeance, essentially, with Ryder going over this time.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that one earlier.
Yeah, no.
Well, let's get to the main event now, shall we?
Sure.
Now, what's funny is that I typically, when I take notes for the main event, my pages, I think I have about 3 pages of notes for the main event exclusively. Tonight, I'm looking at half a page because it just came and went so quickly.
It was a fast main event, yeah.
Yeah. So John Cena walks out of the entranceway, and while you know how he walks out, turns to the camera and usually says something. Well, tonight he says, "I am the guy doing it here every night." I guess making reference to that.
The Rock. Of course, making reference to The Rock. Yeah. Of course.
And of course, or not of course, this brings us, I should say, to CM. John Cena versus The Miz.
That's right. So it's your main event of the evening. It's John Cena versus The Miz, a rematch from WrestleMania 27. So if you're in Atlanta and you bought a ticket, you got to see the exact same match in the main event as if you went to WrestleMania 27.
Just excellent booking on the WWE's part.
Yeah, so Cena actually had quite the mixed reaction as he made his way to the ring. And as the match started out, of course, it was Cena taking control early. He had a headlock takedown. He got a quick fisherman suplex. Miz then turns it around with some kicks. Kicks to his midsection, kicks to his head. Does the mounting punch onto Cena. He then gets up, hits the ropes, kicks Cena in the face for the two count. Miz then continues controlling, getting Cena into the corner and then running and hitting that leaping clothesline that he likes to do where he sits on the second rope. It's at this point that Miz then goes to the top rope, hits a double axe handle onto Cena for a two count. Cena kicks out, of course. There's more kicks by the Miz. It's at this point now that Miz puts John Cena in a sleeper. The crowd's really into it with the whole "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks" chant. Cena eventually ends up countering the sleeper by flipping Miz over his shoulders. And it's at this point that he then goes into his 5 moves of doom, hitting 2 shoulder blocks, then the backdrop, then the 5-knuckle shuffle. Then he eventually tries to get him into the AA, but The Miz reverses it into a nice-looking reverse DDT. The Miz then reverses the STF that Cena slapped onto him into a backbreaker. Into the backbreaker slash neckbreaker that he likes to do. He then gets a 2 count off of that. Miz then prepares to put the skull-crushing finale onto Cena, but Cena then reverses it into a double clothesline, one where he clotheslines him down, then he hits the rope, clotheslines Miz again. John Cena then goes to the top rope. Miz goes over, hits him, so he's a little bit winded on the top rope. Miz then goes for the superplex. Cena then headbutts him off the rope, and then Cena turns this into his leg drop from the top that he likes to do into a 2 count. Miz then reverses the AA again into a front DDT this time, and he gets a 2 count. And it's at this point that Cena, after kicking out, tosses Miz over the top rope. Cena then throws Miz into the barricade. And it's at this point that there's someone dressed up as the villain from Scream, and he starts choking John Cena as he goes over to try to get the Miz.
Kind of over the barricade. Like yeah. he's reaching over the barricade like a fan.
So yeah, no security's getting involved or anything. So I thought that was kind of odd.
Well, I did see security run over after it took place, almost making it look like it was a fan.
But I saw security right behind him, just standing there looking at him as he was doing it. So Yeah, so I don't know. I thought that kind of looked, maybe it was just a bad camera angle or whatever. So I thought that kind of looked.
No, that probably happened.
So that looked kind of weird to me. But Miz then takes Cena after being choked, throws him into the ring. Miz then gets him into the full Nelson for the skull-crushing finale, but Cena reverses it into the STF, and the Miz taps out. John Cena wins cleanly at about, what would you say? I'd say about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
6-7 minutes. Wasn't a very long main event.
So Miz beats John Cena last year at WrestleMania Atlanta, but tonight on Monday Night Raw, which took place from Atlanta, Cena beats the Miz cleanly.
Just cleanly. Makes him tap.
Yep.
Gotta make Cena look strong. Sorry, going into Survivor Series.
I guess.
So.
And you make his opponent look ridiculous as ever.
It did nothing to progress the storyline.
Nothing. How did this main event finish progress any storyline tonight? You have R-Truth attacking the Miz. R-Truth attacking Cena under wearing a Scream mask.
Yeah.
It's later revealed because after the match was over. The man in the Scream mask rushes the ring. He tries to attack John Cena, but Cena catches him kind of in the air, gives him the attitude adjustment,
yep.
Takes off his mask, and he reveals it to be R-Truth.
So the only thing that this match told me was the Miz and R-Truth have absolutely zero chance at Survivor Series.
Oh, it's not even about them.
It's
The Rock saying that the reason why he's teaming up with Cena is because he hates Miz and R-Truth as much as Cena. But the thing is they are not even going to be they're not even going to be on the radar at Survivor Series. It's not even about them.
No,
they're just there to. I can't even figure out why they're there.
They're just pawns in this larger game of putting together the Cena Rock match at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
essentially is what it is. Here's my question for you, Corey. Do you think we'll see a Cena heel turn maybe at Survivor Series?
Well, regardless of how you look at it, CM Punk. Why do I keep saying CM Punk?
God. You're just stuck up on that guy.
Maybe it's because he should be in the main event. John Cena is going to get booed out of the building at WrestleMania. Miami.
It's a given.
So if you already know that, and you want to kind of save his credibility, it might be a good idea to turn him heel.
And you know what? Why not just turn him heel for like the short amount of time? Kind of like what they did. Do you remember when Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan had that program for like a month up to SummerSlam back in 2005?
Yeah.
Where they kind of turned Michaels heel for about 6 weeks. And then after he had his match with Hogan, he went back to being a babyface again. But why don't they do something like that with Cena?
But then, in the same light, you want to keep Cena a face because the day Cena does turn heel, it's going to be a big event.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
But I also think that it's going to be at a time when his time as a top babyface has come and gone. You know, like they'll use that when the timing is right. He's in a match, Icon versus Icon, with The Rock at WrestleMania. They don't need to turn him heel to fuel that storyline. Do you know what I mean? He's already going to be booed out of the building. They can save that swerve for down the road for, you know, when Cena just isn't getting over with the fans anymore. You turn him heel at that point.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. It's the timing's not right for that to happen. So no, I don't see that happening. In fact, if the timing was ever right in 2011, I thought it would have happened at Money in the Bank or just before Money in the Bank. But that didn't happen.
The timing was ever going to do it. The best timing, I personally think, to turn John Cena heel was actually last year when he ended up joining Nexus. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That would have been the best time to turn him heel.
I don't think that would have been the best
time. Oh, absolutely. That would have been the best time to turn him heel. And that would have given instant credibility to the Nexus. They would have been up there with the NWO if that happened.
Yes, I agree with that notion. But I don't think it would have been a good idea to have John Cena. I don't think it was good for his big swerve to be with a group like that. I think the day John Cena turns heel, it's going to be a big event, and there's going to be a big elaborate story to go behind it. I don't think you're going to see him in a group. It's going to be him on his own. That's how I picture it.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
No.
Well, that's very.
I think it's going to be similar to the way Hogan did it. It'll be a big event, but I think it'll be as part of a larger group.
Yeah.
Kind of like the NWO.
Well, we're running out of time. The music almost cut both of us off.
Holy, it almost cut our heads off.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's our producer in the back who's messing with us on a Halloween night.
Hey, you're fired.
Well, I have to say I'm very disappointed with Monday Night Raw again.
What else is new? We haven't had a good Monday Night Raw in probably 8 weeks now.
I want to say I liked it. Like I don't want this show to be all about negativity right now because I feel like it is. I feel like people are tuning in just to hear us talk bad about it. But the thing is I'm trying to look for the good in it and I'm not seeing it. Yeah. I can't see
it. It's just, no, it's because of all...
And anyone who says otherwise, I don't get where your thinking's
at. It's the illogicalities in the storylines and just the poor booking choices right now. It's essentially what it boils down to.
Like, you throw your world heavyweight champion under the bus tonight. You have The Miz tap out cleanly.
You have your champion lose clean.
Yeah.
It was, what was that? I don't know.
And for what? For what reason? Where are we? Where have we progressed?
So we can set up a match for him at a pay-per-view. You have him lose clean.
Where have we progressed in the storylines of anything tonight?
You've done nothing but degrade your belts tonight. Honestly.
Yeah.
So.
No, but like I'm just being honest here.
Yeah.
Our big stories of the that are going on, our big storylines, our big feuds, where have they progressed tonight? Let's just think about this for a second. Big Show, Mark Henry, what's progressed in that department?
Nothing.
What's progressed with the Kevin Nash Triple H?
Triple H is out for 5 weeks. Could that be considered a progression?
Where are we at with John Cena and The Rock? We basically had The Rock agree to team up with him.
And that's your progression.
Which everyone already knew.
A poor promo, which is very rare from The Rock.
And where else? What else do we have? We got Punk and Del Rio. So, you know, the match that everyone already knew was going to happen last Monday.
Got set up, but set up in a poor way that degrades your belt and your champion.
So where are we?
are we two steps back?
That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, this song's already over.
Well, play it again. No, we won't force you.
No, I'm playing this song. Okay. This is what we're going out with right here.
All
right,
we're going out with... Get ready for it. Get ready for it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been SRL on a Monday night. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Corey, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's coming up on Thursday?
Well, on Thursday, we have Corey Basso, which I'm looking forward to.
I'm really looking forward to Corey Basso, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about ECCW's latest super show, Halloween Hell, which was an absolutely fantastic show and is a prime example of how good an event can be if you book it properly.
Mm-hmm. You can't call it a super show, James. That's what the ASW called their last show. You just called the ECCW's super show Halloween Hell.
Compared to the show two Fridays ago, yes, that was a super show.
Oh, wow. Other than that, we're going to basically probably be more negative about the WWE. Reluctantly. Like, I don't want to be negative, but no. I am. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going to have all the regular features. We're going to have Tale of the Tape, Post to Post Report, and we're going to have an interesting top five for you on Thursday.
All right. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald.
This is SRL on a Monday night.
We'll see you on Thursday.
You said it all. This is Smack Talk Radio Live.